This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Philip Watts from Barnsoul Winery in Kent. How are you, Philip?
I'm very well, thank you. Nice to speak to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, long time listener, I understand.
I understand, 620 episodes or so and going strong.
Well, what we're going to talk about today is some changes in VAT in the UK that's causing some issues with smaller producers like yourself. But just before we get into that, Philip, do you want to just tell us a little bit about Barnsoul, where you are and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, Barnsoul was planted in 93 with the German varieties were around at the time. It's a 7-acre site, of which three were planted originally with Regent Rondo, Reichensteiner and Huxelrieber, and was making still wines as a regional producer from sort of 93 to 2012. We stumbled upon it in about 10 years prior to 2012 when we decided we'd try and acquire it. And eventually that came to pass, and we've now expanded the planting to the full 7 acres, adding Bacchus, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir Precoce.
Okay, and we're going to talk about some of those bits in a wee bit. But the business itself, like a lot of people who are planting vineyards at the moment, are planting, you know, 100 acres, 200 acres, all sorts of stuff. This is very much the old classic small English winery that historically, before the sparkling revolution, produced pretty average quality wines. Nothing personal,
yep.
But there was some pretty average wines coming out of these small holdings.
Yep.
You know, what's it like now for you guys?
Business is very strong. I think the quality of the wines have improved. I think the competencies around the winemakers that are around now, the advent of Plumpton Agricultural College, giving guys like me technical skills in the winery and in the vineyard, have all led to a better quality product across the board.
Yeah, no, definitely. And how? Where do you sell? Do you, you know, you're a small producer. Do you sell locally? Do you sell into the supermarkets? Where are you flogging your stuff?
The business model is to sell direct, own all the value in the chain, grow the grapes, produce the wine, and sell the wine to the delighted, smiling faces that leave our vineyard every day.
Cool.
That way, I can build a sustainable and modestly profitable business. The most important thing is I get to fulfill my dream of growing grapes and making amazing wine. Now, who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, a lot of people do. A lot of people. I don't, strangely enough. I don't have a large fortune to enter into wine and land up with a small fortune. So,
yeah, there's some truth in that.
Yeah. You've described your business model as being a small producer, and I think one of the issues that you raised with me when we were talking about this, or swapped some emails a while ago, actually, for the listeners, we've met a couple of times already. I came down and did some tasting for the, is it the Tunbridge?
Thanet Wine Appreciation Society.
Thanet Wine Appreciation.
Known as Twats in the region.
The biggest wine appreciation society I think I've ever in the UK, isn't it?
Yep, with a capacious appetite for good wine.
Yeah. I think you guys have like turn-ups of around 100 people. Which,
100 and 120 is not uncommon.
Yeah, they're big groups. Good fun, though. Good fun. And very well organised as well. With a meal, it's great fun. Yep. I don't mind coming down there for you guys in Thanet. Anyway, let's talk about the issue that one of the issues is the VAT. This is something that you mentioned with me a wee while ago, and I'm interested to understand exactly what the issue is, because things have changed under Brexit. So your concern is that sometimes the smaller producers like yourself are going to get screwed.
Absolutely. Everything is more difficult. Everything is going up in price. All of those things pale into insignificance for the damage that the government is doing to my sector. The typical vineyard in the UK is below 5 hectares. Obviously, we'll know the bigger producers. 20% of the vineyards and wine producers produce the bulk of the wine, like a Pareto effect, 20% create most of the volume. But 80% of the vineyards planted are 5 hectares or less. Source, Stephen Skelton, EnglishWine.com. Now, those producers, the best route to market for those new vineyards is to follow my model, make the wine and sell it direct to the consumers in their region. Mm-hmm. That way you can make a sustainable and profitable business that's going to feed you and your family for generations to come. And we had the benefit of a European principle that if a farm produces a product, then they can sell it to the consumer without the sales tax. Mm-hmm. That principle is there because we make the product. If you're buying in raw materials, processing them and selling them on, then VAT is less of an issue. But we make the product.
So the reason is if you buy it in, you're paying VAT already, so you can claim that back as part of it. So you only ever pay VAT on the margin that you've, the value improvement really, isn't
it? Correct. Yeah. And most businesses, most wine businesses that are 5 hectares or more, their route to market is through the trade distribution channels, supermarkets, wine merchants, etc., etc., restaurants. Our best model, 80% of the, and that's 600 vineyards in the UK, our best route to market is to sell direct to consumer. Now, what that does is invigorates the rural economy. It creates sustainable business models. For every pound spent in one of those vineyards, 3 further pounds are spent in the vicinity or people coming out on wine tours. It's a very good, strong business model and was going to be something that was going to be a raging success for the future until Brexit. The first thing the government took the chance to do was take away that tax benefit from those small English vineyards.
So this is, when you describe it, you call it the AFR, which is the agricultural
flat rate.
Flat rate.
Yeah.
Okay. And what does that actually mean? Is it?
Okay. So I can sell a bottle of wine to you, Chris, the consumer, let's say for £10, and I don't charge you VAT. Mm-hmm. I am not in the VAT system. I don't have to account for VAT, and I do no VAT returns. And so there's no VAT involved whatsoever.
A lot of businesses have that, though. If your turnover is below a certain threshold,
85,000.
Is it 85 now? Yeah. When we started, it was 50. So they've clearly upped it a bit. Yeah, okay. But so if you're below a certain threshold, you don't have to pay VAT. You don't have to have the headache of VAT, which can be, obviously, you land up having to charge more to your consumers as well.
Correct.
So what's the threshold for the, well, what was the threshold for the agricultural flat rate?
There was not one.
Oh, okay. So you could make as much as you like.
Correct. So vineyards like Camel Valley, Oldbury and others have benefited from that tax break and helped them build their businesses.
Mm-hmm. So the problem with them is that if they sell it at a price to another merchant, that merchant then has to put the full 20% whack on. They can't claim back the VAT that they didn't.
Correct. But I'm talking here about the 80% of vineyards that are going to be selling direct to consumer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. No, that's cool. All right. So that's you can produce as much as you like. You got this VAT-free because you're a producer, not a adding value to it, value-added tax. You're not adding value to the product because you're actually producing it in the first instance.
Correct.
Okay, so what happened after Brexit?
On the 6th of April 2021, the Conservatives, without any mention in Parliament, although they did run a consultancy, to be fair, they implemented a threshold above which you are no longer able to remain in the agricultural flat rate system. And that threshold is £230,000.
Yeah, it's still quite a lot of money for a quarter of a million, well, just shy of a quarter of a million.
Okay, let me put that another point to you. In that £230,000 is duty, which is the money that the government has invested in my wine stock in my wine store. So if you take that £50,000 worth of duty out of that turnover, you then come down to £180,000 worth of turnover, which is my turnover. The rest is their duty.
Yep.
So I've got £180,000 to run a business, pay myself and my wife and our 2.5 employees. Mm-hmm. That's not enough money. And to invest in a press, it just doesn't add up.
Okay. So your concern is that the changes in tax, getting rid of that sort of agricultural flat rate, will cause your business to, land up having to start charging VAT?
Correct. If I trip over that £230,000, so what I've had to do is reduce the size of my business to come in below that threshold. So I've had to stop doing wine tours, stop doing vouchers, stop doing online sales. Yesterday, I notified all the limited number of trade accounts that I have that I've stopped doing trade sales. I've had to stop selling wine to remain below that threshold.
That doesn't sound too bright. So how do you manage it? What do you do if you've got 1,000 bottles, then you're going to break the threshold? What do you do with the wine that you didn't sell? You're drinking too much, mate.
I admit to that. You just have to stop selling wine.
Yeah.
Now, the stupid thing about it is there's wine that I would have sold that would release money to government by way of duty. But I have to stop selling wine. So on my website in the next week or so, when I get organised, there'll be a notice to say, if you want to come and visit the vineyard, because we're still offering free dropping tours every day. If you want to visit our vineyard, come at the beginning of the month, because towards the end of the month, I have to shut the business.
Yeah, that's a bit tough, isn't it?
And madness.
Is it monthly?
So every month.
It's not just like you've got a certain amount you're allowed to sell, and then you, if you go over that...
It's a rolling 12-month period. So if for every month, as I near that 230 in the previous 12 months, I have to turn the tap off. I shut. I have turned so many people away from my gates who infuriated that they can't buy my wine. But I can't trip over that. I don't have an extra £50,000 a year to give to the government in VAT. I don't make that kind of money. I'd have to close the business.
Okay, but your business sounds like it's one of these ones that are near the threshold, or possibly just naturally just a little bit over the threshold, and you're trying to keep your business below that threshold.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. You see this in a number of areas where businesses artificially keep themselves naturally smaller than they would be because they're trying to avoid some sort of government threshold.
Correct.
Typically. Are you profitable keeping the business below that 230,000?
Yes, my wife and I in the last couple of years have managed to start paying ourselves. And anybody can see how much we pay ourselves in Company House Records. We pay ourselves £26 a day. Fantastic. And we're so delighted that we manage. We have to eat dirt a lot of the time and we can't spend money on extravagant wines, but it's enough for us to get by. But not if we go over that 230,000 threshold.
And why can't you just put your prices up by 20% and accept you're getting back? Because you will get some back because you buy fuel, buy all agricultural supplies, so you'll get some of that money back.
A bit.
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
It won't compensate us for the £50,000 loss that we would suffer. But the point is that what we would end up with, if we put 20% on our prices, our business is probably going to shrink. And then what we've got is a very high tax liability on a smaller business that we can't afford. We'd have to shut the business.
Yeah, okay. How many businesses do you think are affected by this? How many wine businesses do you think are affected by this?
Well, if you were to ask the government, I'm sure they'd tell you that there aren't many businesses on this scheme. That's not the point. The point is this is a new industry. When I bought Barnsall 10 years ago, there were 230 vineyards. Now there's nearly 900. And most of those haven't brought their product to market yet. They've been planted in the last 5 years. Now, that rate of planting is predicted to accelerate. So there's going to be a lot more wine businesses in the future. So I'm not talking about Barnsall and Barnsall's problems. I'm talking about a sector-wide damage to our wine economy. And that is really the fiscal problem that the government has presented us.
Okay, so what would you want to happen to solve the problem?
Well, the very obvious thing is to exclude duty from that £230,000 turnover. That gives us a little bit more turnover. But why on earth would our own government, after Brexit, damage the rural economy? Why would they do that? Reverse what they've done.
Yeah, I think...
Now, it doesn't just affect me. Any farm that's in this system that sells a product to the general public is affected by this change. Now, society wants to support small producers of local products sold direct. That's what society wants and demands today. What the government has done is acted against that interest.
You look at the trade negotiation deals that have been done with Australia and things like that, and some of the noises coming out of government, I think they're looking to change the structure of the farming industry to make it more competitive by having a bit of consolidation and larger units, less farms, but larger farms that are more economic and more competitive internationally. And by allowing smaller holds, giving smaller hold farms an opportunity to thrive, they're really going to cause that consolidation not to occur. When I was a kid, my family owned a farm in New Zealand. When England stopped buying goods that were really tied to the Commonwealth and took on all the EU stuff when they moved to the EU and New Zealand lost its access to market, a lot of farms went bust. My family's farm went bust and the consolidation occurred. And now people talk about New Zealand being an incredibly competitive farming sector. Why? Because they've got rid of all the uneconomic small farms. And there's an argument to say, well, small local is better than economically large farms, but it looks like that's what the government's trying to achieve anyway. They're looking for a larger scaled, more consolidated farming sector. When I listen to the farming news and things like that, because I do occasionally, that seems to be the drift that they're going for, is larger farms. So what you're looking for, you're really trying to run a business that isn't suitable for what the government's aspirations are.
I've got a successful, profitable, small local business model, and that's proven over the decades. What the government policy is, as you may have correctly identified, is to damage small farms. Now, they didn't tell you that when he asked you to vote for Brexit, but that's evidently what they're choosing to do. But they're not making that clear. And all of these people that think of selling up their, releasing their equity in London and buying a little vineyard, well, the government should make it quite clear that they're going to harm you if you do that.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they've chosen to do. They told us that Brexit was going to be good for English or Great Britain and UK businesses. And as soon as they got the chance, they've acted to harm us.
Some businesses and other businesses will do better for it. WineGB are the trade body. What's their position on this?
A curtain of silence.
Why is that, do you think?
I think because the board has a vested interest from the bigger producers. They tend to represent the bigger producers. They've suppressed news on this subject for many years. It should have been promoted to the small vineyards that they have a tax benefit here. They still refuse to talk about it. There's one new member of the board who's actually taken an interest with it, has a meeting with government in the middle of January and has promised to bring this up. I'm not sure that that's going to go anywhere. I'm very disappointed that the board of WineGB haven't taken an interest in the subject, which is damaging to 80% of the vineyards in the UK. Complete silence.
Okay. Well, let's leave that there. I think that it's quite an interesting issue coming out with how businesses struggle with trying to stay within thresholds and all that and maintain viability. Obviously, there's always winners and losers, and it looks like maybe some of the smaller farmers are the ones who are going to get lose a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay then, Philip, I think what we'll do is we'll wrap it up there, and next week I think we're going to talk about this unusual Pinot Noir grape variety you've got called Rutum that you've been planting in your vineyard.
Oh, thanks very much, Chris. See you next week.